Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Nun Vav, and we're holding the third line from the top of the Amud, and we're starting a brand new Mishnah. And the Mishnah is continuing to tell us the halachas of treifas, just like we had at the beginning of our perek 2 weeks ago on daf Mem Beis. We started off Elu treifas b'behema, now we're continuing on Elu treifas b'oif. Rashi immediately points out, in as Ashtikal Hagdama, that in truth, all of the treifas that you have by behema, b'derech klal, the same apply to the oif. The reason why we need this new Mishnah then is because of chidushim in our Mishnah, and Rashi goes through a number of those chidushim, as you will see. But there's a lot of parallel between the treifas by behema to the treifas by oif. So the Mishnah begins, v'eilu treifas by oif, nekuvas haveshet, same thing as we had by the behema. Why did we need to repeat that? Because the Mishnah continues on, Upsukas ha-gageres, when the gageres happens to be cut 51%, then it's treifa. So you're going to tell me, well, I know that already from the Mishnah about Elu treifas b'behema. Says Rashi, yes, you're right. But sol kadaita chamina, since the life force of an oif is so much less than that of a behema, in which respect? By behema, to have a successful shechita, you have to shecht both simanim, that's both a kana and a veshet. By oif, that's not required. If you just shecht one simen, that is already sufficient to call the behema kishochten properly, and then you can go and eat from it. Why is that? Why only one oif? Because the amount of life, blood, and life, and vitality, etc., within the oif is that much less physically than that of a behemoth. So once you sever one, that's already the demise, if you will, of the oif. Ah, so kadai techamina, therefore says Rashi, maybe not only by a veshet, I would say a nekev is sufficient to make it treifa, but even by the gargeris, meaning the kana, maybe the same thing should apply. One nekev is enough, and with that, we know that the oif is a treifa. Kamash will on the Mishnah name that the oif has the same din as behemoth, that when it comes to the kana, it's got to be 51% slit, and then we say that this oif is now a treifa. The Mishnah continues on. Hiksa chulda al roisha, if the chulda went and attacked it on its head. Now, we would normally think that that's probably talking about Hilchos Drusa. So Rashi and the Gemara Mishnah, as we'll see shortly, quickly tell us that that's not the pshat. The chulda that we're talking about, the weasel, is not doing a drisa with its claws or its paws, but rather is taking a bite out of the head, nebuch, of this poor oif. And therefore, the word hiksa is really nishicha. It is bitten it. Al roisha, on its head. Makim sha'isa oisa treifa, where a simen tarfis could have occurred. What simen tarfis is there? Says Rashi, don't forget the first Mishnah in our perek, where we talked about Nikva krum shel moyach. Ah, that's what we're talking about. You don't have to find that there was a hole in the krum shel moyach. All you have to see is that the chulda went and bit into the head of the oif in a place where the krum shel moyach normally finds itself, where it's normally located. That's also simen tarfis. We're going to talk about that more in greater detail in Mechim as we get into the Gemara. Nikiv ha-kurkaban. The korkuban is the pipik, or in fancy English, it's called the gizzard, which is bimkoim, one of the four stomachs that you find by a behema. Here in an oif, it has a korkuban. Nikva dakin, if there's a hole in the dakin in the intestine. Nofla la'or, what happens if the oif fell into a fire? The nechru b'nei me'eha, and as a result, the b'nei me'ayin were nechmeru. What does that mean, nechmeru? Rashi says nechmeru means it has two things happened to it. Number one, that it shriveled up. And number two, that the color changed. In which respect did the color change? Zokt the Mishnah, im yeroikim psulim, im adoimim ksherim. If they turned to green, then they're possible. If they remained red, they're kosher. We're going to talk about that more in the Gemara, about the green and the red. Stay tuned. Dorsa, You have a situation which is similar to the case of Nefula in the previous Mishnah, that what? Darsa, a person stepped on the oif, or Tarf of Bekoisel took the oif and threw it against the wall. He was just furious, and he took this bird and threw it against the wall. Or Behema stepped on the bird. I nebuch for this bird. But the bird, Baruch Hashem, in Mefar Cheses, it's still jerking around, meaning it's still alive. Vishasa, and it remained alive for at least amas less. Vishachta, then it's ksheira. So you see, that's very similar to the din of Nefula that we had in the previous Mishnah. Nefula means, not the previous Mishnah, Mishnayos, that the behema fell from the roof and fell down to the ground. We have to be worried about risuk evarim. Here too we have the same concern, but we're not talking about a bird falling from the roof, because normally if it's a bird, it flies off the roof, it doesn't fall down from the roof. So how could it then have risuk evarim? Nebuch, a person stepped on it, or behema stepped on it, or they threw it against the wall, and that could have the same risuk evarim effect. So what did we say about that in the earlier Mishnayos? We said about that, that you have that famous waiting 24-hour test. If you see that this, just like by the behema, if it continues to live for the next 24 hours, same thing by the oif, if it lives 24 hours, then it's kosher, and you can go and shecht it. But as we said before, legabe the behema, and we're going to repeat it now, legabe the oif, explains Rashi, but it still requires a bedika. In other words, it's not automatically kosher, but it's not automatically treif. After 24, if it would not live the 24 hours, well, it didn't live. You certainly could not go and shecht it immediately right after this darsa, tarfa, or rititza, because there's the chshash of risa kevorim, which is a simon tarfis. So you certainly could not shecht it immediately. But after you waited 24 hours and Baruch Hashem, it's still alive, now you can go and shecht it with the presumption that it's kosher, but then you have to go and do a bedika of the various, the shedra and certain evarim, to make sure there was no risuk evarim, it was not tattered and broken from the inside. Zokti Yomar. We're going back now to the case of the huksa chulda al roisha, which means that the weasel went and bit into the head, nebuch, of this oif, Mokim she'oisa oisa treifa, where the krum shel moyach may have been punctured, which would be a simen typhus. Now, how am I supposed to go and be boitik it? So Rav Ushmul v'Levi di Amri, all three together said, machnis yodei lefnim u boitik. What the shoichet or boitik can do is, after the bird has been geshachten, open up the mouth, insert a finger or two, depending on how large the mouth, the opening is of this oif, and push the fingers upwards towards the head, towards the skull, and see what happens. Uboidik, how are you boidik? Imavatsveit vioila treifa viemlav ksheira. Ah, in other words, I don't know from the outside whether the chulda that bit into the head reached all the way to the krum shel moyach, to cause there to be a hole in the krum shel moyach, which would allow some of the brain matter, unfortunately, to leak as a result of that puncture. I don't know. I can ask the chulda. The chulda is not going to go and answer. So the bedik is, after the shechit is over, push your fingers upwards into the palate towards the head of the oif, and if by pushing, if you notice that some brain matter, some head material, whatever, is mavatzitz v'oila, starts coming out of the holes which are on top of the head of this oif, then treifa. And then it's obvious that the chulda did such a good job with its bite that it bit into the krum shel moyach, so that now there is a leak, so to speak, inside the head. But it's not going to leak on its own. You push it up a little bit and let's see. If it leaks, you know, oh, then there's obviously a leak not only in the head, but in the krum shel moyach. If, however, the imlav, if nothing comes up, then it's kshera, then it's good, because, yes, there are holes on the outside, but nothing, no damage internally. So on the surface, this sounds like a great idea, but the Gemara says it's really totally in a machlokes that we had before. What is the machlokes that we had before? When we said, nikid krum shel moyach, Moyach has on it two membranes. It has the one that is immediately containing the brain, and then they have the outer membrane, like two bags when you're taking home groceries. One bag you have the vegetables, and then that's the transparent plastic bag, and then you have the larger bag, etc. So you have the same type of two membranes. According to the Mandi Omer that says, when does a behemah become treif? And therefore, by extension, when does an ois become treif? Only when you have a nekiv, not only in the outside membrane, but also in the inside membrane. Because if it's only from the outside membrane, it could be that the skull and the head of the animal, here in the case of the oif, would remain intact as a result of the chromatata, meaning the immediate membrane that surrounds the head. Ah, okay, so according to Mandiyama that holds that you have to have a nekif not only in the chroma'ilo, but also in the chromatata, it's got to go through and through. This makes a lot of sense. How does it make sense? Because if you see that there's no brain matter coming up, even though you're pushing it with your finger, it shows that the chromatata, at least the chromatata, must be closed, must be solid. Because if there was a puncture in it, then how come you don't see the brain matter? So that makes sense. Elamandiyama inkif ilo avagavgoi inkif tata, according to Mandiyama that says, no, for a behemoth, and by extension, oif, it can be treif, even if there's only a nekiv in the outside brain, even if the tator doesn't have a nekiv whatsoever, nechush, in the second half of the statement of Rav Shmuel, the lady, that what? If there is no mevatzveitz, if no brain matter is coming out, nechush dum ilo inkiv, maybe unfortunately the chulda did a good job in not only puncturing the head by biting the head, but also punctured that kruma ilo, the outside membrane, which of course is the one which is closest to the surface of the outside head. So maybe in fact the chulda did damage and puncture that outside krum, tato loy inkiv, and the bottom one was not nikiv, and therefore since the bottom one was not inkiv, there's no nekiv, according to the first Mishnah, that would be kosher. Yeah, but that's the reason why there's no brain matter coming up. You know why there's no brain matter coming up? Because there was no puncture in the second krum. But according to that Mandi Yomar, you don't need a puncture in the second krum. You only need a puncture in the upper krum. So Dilma Ilo Inkiv, maybe as a result of what the Chulda's bite did, was taka to go and puncture the upper membrane, and therefore now the behima, in this case the oif, is treif, and the reason why it wasn't mevatzet v'yoytze is because the inner membrane held the brain material together inside the brain. But nevertheless, the oif is treif, so why do you tell me that Rav and Shmuel V'Levi said, oh, we got a great bedika, push up the fingers, see if it's not mevatzet, it's kosher. Maybe even if it's not mevatzet, it's still treif. Because the reason why it wasn't mevatzet is because the internal membrane is still intact. But it's still treif because there was a hole in the outside membrane. Every dimar iisa di inkevi lo tato agav ruchechei mifka poka. Remember, we're dealing with an oif, we're not dealing with a behemah. And therefore, once there's a nekev in the lo in the outside membrane, unfortunately, the inside membrane, agav ruchechei, because it's so rach, it is so soft and flimsy in texture and in strength, mifka poka, it's going to burst open. And therefore, according to everybody, even if you hold that me ikr didina, the nekev only has to be in the ilah and not the tator to become treif, in the case of the oif, it's going to happen that the tator will also ultimately have a nekev just because of the fact that it is so soft and flimsy. So we have the shita now, Rav Shmuel V'Levi, you can be boidik for that problem of the chulda biting the head. Omaziri, ein bedika l'chulda, nein, no such thing. This bedika that you were talking about, pushing up the fingers, gunish ved, it's worthless. Why? Because the teeth of the chulda are so small. And therefore the Gemara is assuming the habamina, since they're so small, even if you would push up, no material, no brain matter would go through the holes anyway, because the holes are so small. So that's not the effective bdika. Why? I don't understand. So even though they happen to be small, okay, you're not going to have a huge burst of brain matter by pushing up the fingers, but at the very least, something will ooze out. A small hole is still a small hole. If you have a big hole in this cup, all of the seltzer is going to spill out immediately. If you have a small hole, it won't happen immediately, but slowly but surely, you'll have an oozing and a flowing effect. So what difference does it make? Shinei adakos. Everything what Rav Oishi emanation shinei adakos ve'akumos. What means akumos? Kumos in Yiddish means they're krim. Krim means that they are not straight, but they are crooked. Here we don't mean crooked in terms of crooked. What we mean is that they're really going at an angle. So what does that have to do with anything? So Rashi says, because even if you make the chulda makes holes in the outside head of the oif, those shinayim, they don't go straight, but rather they go at an angle. Let's assume that, in fact, there is a puncture in the membrane underneath the head. However, that puncture, the hole will be in one spot, and the hole from the outside of the chulda's biting will be in another spot, because that hole doesn't go straight down, it goes at an angle. The hole in the krum, however, is a normal hole. And therefore, the two are not going to be parallel to one another. So even if you were to go and push up with your fingers on the palate, and in fact, some brain matter would now leak from the brain, but it's not automatically going to go through the holes of the shinayim, because that's kind of on the other side, so to speak. Not mamish on the other side, but at least far enough away that it's very possible that the brain material will burst from the brain, but stay within the confines of the head and not come out, because the two holes are not going to be properly aligned. That being the case, says the Iri, the bedika that we just spoke about is not worth it. Now, it's not valid. However, this was the Iri's original position. Ziri eventually changed his mind. The Ziri lived in Bavel, and when he left Bavel, Kisolik Nerdoh, he went to Nerdoh. I know everybody says to themselves, is Nerdoh part of Bavel? However, in Masech the Sukkah, it says that Bavel was, there were two Bavels. There was the larger country that we call Bavel, and then there was also a section, a particular region that was called Bavel.
New York City, New York State,
exactly right. And so therefore, the Bavel that he lived in originally was apparently one of those smaller cities within the much larger Bavel. He now moved to Nehedah, or at least temporarily went to Nehedah, and Shalach Lehu, and now he sent back home a letter, Dvorim Shemarti Lefneichem, Tois Tein Biyodi. When I previously paskined that Ein Bedika, I made a mistake. See? A brave individual, Oidev Loivosh. He was Moiden, he was not embarrassed. Varam kach omru mishmeider b'shimim belokish boikim lechulda biyad. Yes, you can do that bedika that we just spoke about from Rav, Shmuel, and Levi. Put your fingers in and push it up a little bit and let's see what happens. However, avaloi b'masmer, make sure that you push it up with your finger and don't use a nail. Why shouldn't you go and use a nail? Because you're going to use a nail. The nail itself could cause the perforation. Meaning until now, as a result of the chulda, maybe there was no damage, but in your attempt to go and check if there's damage or not, now you're going to go and damage it. Now you're not going to damage it from the outside, you're going to damage it from the inside by going and pushing up. Now, of course, it doesn't make any difference because of the fact that the oif is already dead because you already shechted it. Yeah, but that's not the point. If you're going to go and take the masmer, the nail, and you're going to go and push up from the bottom, it may cause brain matter now to ooze from the outside, because the masmer obviously is much more pointed, much sharper than just your finger when you're pushing it up. So you could have a leak. You might think, oh, it must be that the chulda did a neshicha, and in fact it didn't do any harmful neshicha at all. Yes, it certainly bit, but it was not a tarfus as a result of that bite. And now you're causing the tarfus. And therefore you're going to go and damage the owner of this oif, and you're going to rob him of money by saying it's treif. It really wasn't treif at all. No, you can be careful even with a masmer, and you can try it out with the nail as well. And in fact, This machloek between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is virtually identical to machloekis Tanoim, Ube Plukta, to Rabbi Yehuda, Vreb Nechemia, Chad Bodik Biyoda. They did the Rav Shmuel Valevi finger trick to do the Medika. Chad Bodik B'machta. Machta, of course, is a needle. Needle is different than a nail, but for our purposes, they're identical because both of them are sharp at the end and therefore might cause now the damage and the perforation and the puncture. And the Gemara tells us that there was, if you will, a dialogue between them. Man de bodik biyad, that one that was bodik biyad, and said, but do not use a machta. Omalele man de bodik machta, he told the one that's using the machta or the masmer, and Mosei atem achalim amoinishul Yisrael, you are causing financial damage because you think that using the masmer or the machat, that's an effective way to see whether or not there was a neshicha of the chulda that reached the krum shel moich and punctured it, and therefore you want to go and establish perhaps that it's treif. It was never treif, and it's not treif now. The puncture and the perforation is, you are causing that, and therefore you're the one that's ruining the financial assets of Klal Yisrael. Lately, one answer, one that responded, said, "Man de bodik b'machta," said, "Man de bodik b'yoda," and Mosei atamachal Yisrael nevelis. As a result of what you're doing, not allowing for the machat or for the masmer, just doing with a finger, that is not a very effective Vedika, and so therefore you're going to go and say, oh, I pushed my finger, nothing happened, no brain material started oozing out, it must be kosher. I'm afraid, had you used the machad or the masma, you would have seen, ho, 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 unfortunately inside there's a lot of damage. Therefore what you're doing is, you're being machal nevelis. Pray tomorrow, nevelis? Vashchuti. All of these discussion, this entire discussion about doing this bedikis means after the shechita, now you put your fingers in, or the machat, or the masmer in, to see what's going on upstairs in the head of the animal. So it's after shechita. Once it's after shechita, it's not a nevela. That could be a treifa, but it's got a nevela. Nafkamin, of course, the gabi, whether it's metame. Zok timara v'hashchiti. Ela treifois. I don't mean nevelis. I take meant treifa. Shemanik of Krumshel Moyach. Maybe in fact there was a Krumshel Moyach, which we won't be able to determine with the finger, but we'll be able to go and determine with the nail and or with the needle. Now you're saying to yourself, how would you go and determine that? If anything, the Gemara is right, it's going to perforate, it's going to go and make a puncture. But the point is that if you're going to scratch the palate with your nail or with your needle, then if in fact there is a puncture somewhere, it'll get stuck on that puncture because of the fact that there's a hole there, and it's not going to allow for a smooth back and forth motion with the machat or with the masmer, and you'll be able to determine, is there a hole or is there not a hole.
So you're taking the needle and I understand when you take your finger, you're pushing from inside the mouth of the chicken.
That's right.
Of the oaf. Mm-hmm. And pushing upward and applying pressure.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing the needle test or the masmer test? How is that working?
You're going and you are pushing it back and forth with motion to see whether it gets stuck on a neck of somewhere.
On the
pre-existing puncture that there's in the membrane as a result of your, now that you're scratching back and forth.
So you've removed, removed the head, and now you're
in all cases you're removing the head.
What?
In all cases you're removing the head.
You're removing the skull because you have to get to the membrane of the oaf.
Mm-hmm.
In the earlier case, you're simply pushing up against it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's an easier, less troublesome bedika.
Exactly, for sure.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah. Zokti Morar Tistain. Now we had now that the Machloikis Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, yes, use a masmer, not use a masmer. We said it's Beplukta Derbi Yehuda from Nechemia. But we didn't say who said what. It just said Chad Bodik B'Yada, Chad Bodik B'Machta. It says the Gemara, it's time to Derbi Yehuda, Huda Bodik B'Yada. I'll bring you a raya. In fact, the raya is crystal clear. You don't need a diuk or an inference. The sign is stayed in the Brisa, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Oim Meshum Reb Yehuda, the same Reb Yehuda, Boikin Chulda B'Yad, Avaloi b'masmer. Okay, so it's crystal clear that this is like the man the Yomah that says, yad yes, but not masmer. That was like Reish Lakish that we said before. Now we just continue on the braisa, which is really unrelated, if you will. Nishbaro etzem avo bishaloi nikiv krum shel moyach. If there was a break in the etzem as a result of the nishicha, the biting of the chuda, even if there was no nekiv in the krum shel moyach at all, it's all to treifa. We're going to get back to this momentarily, but you have the testaim. Testaim, I have a clear raya from the first part of this price, said that it's Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said, biyad avaloi b'masmer. So that's taken care of. But the Gemara says, but I don't understand what the price is saying. The price is so ser reisha to seifa. Hagufa kasha. Amris, we said at the beginning of the price, that boikin chul to biyad avaloi b'masmer. Alma isle b'dikusa. And what's the whole purpose of the b'dika? To go and see whether there was a break, a puncture in the membrane around the brain material in the head of the oif. You have to go and see whether it's nikev krum shalmayach. Yet the sefer of the very same price, it says, nishbar etzem avo pisha loy nikev krum shalmayach, is already treifa. So what am I doing all these bedikas? I clearly see that there are hole marks from the chulda on the head, so it's nishbar etzem. So what do I need to go into whether or not your nikiv krum, nish nikiv krum? You're telling me in the sefer, once in nishbar etzem, the thing is treifa. This whole idea of pushing with your fingers, pushing with a needle with them, it's all ridiculous. It's already treifa anyway, even if it was no nikiv krum shalmayach. Alma isle b'dikusa, v'hadatani nishbar etzem v'yishulei nikiv krum shalmayach. Alma lesle b'dikusa, not that it doesn't have, you know, need a b'dika, because it's already treif by nishbar etzem. And for the Gemara, Seif Ason li oif shel mayim. The Seif is talking about not your regular oif, but an oif that resides on the water. The Gemara is going to give an example on the umbit base of geese, and presumably the same thing would apply to ducks and any other types of aquatic birds that reside typically on or next to the water. What's the reason why they are different? Hoyu ve'ein leikrum. If you open up their heads, you'll see that there is no membrane around the brain. And the Murray immediately screams out, Ein loy krum, sol kadaitach, are you nuts? Every single person and every single lehavdol behema and oif, they all have a krum around the moyach to keep the moyach in place so it doesn't just all scatter. So the Murray, elahoy le krumay rach, because the membrane of an oif around its brain is so soft, says the Sefer, if nishbara etzem, not of a regular oif, a regular oif, yes, you have to do the bedika, and the bedika should be either biyad or masmer, says Rabbi Yehuda, not only use the yad, don't use the masmer. However, by an oif shel mayim, where the krum is so rach, it's so soft, once in nishba etzem, it's already 99.999% that nikav krum shel mayim. You don't even have to check for it, because that's a dover pashut. Now the Gemara is going to basically repeat this shtickle toyer about oif shel mayim and krumay rach three times, as you'll see. And the Gemara is going to be almost verbatim, as we just saw. You can ask three questions.
You said nevela, but that's only
nevela. So oif is also nevela, but yes, you're right. It's matami differently. Not by masa mata, only by achila. Basically, 100% right. Okay. And the Gemara said, that's not a nevela, it's a treifa, because he shechted it. The treifa is mitarasan bidei nevela.
So if someone ate such an animal,
you mean oif?
An oif that was geshechted.
That was a foul act.
It's a treifa. Mm-hmm. He was shechted properly. He's over on eating machos asuros, but he's not matame.
He would not become tame. Correct. Correct. Only Rav Nachman l'Rav Onan. Mar Om Shmuel. Bodik biyodu umechsher. I heard from you, Mar, he's referring to him in the third person, Mar, the master, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Rav Onan, Mar, you, Rav Onan, said that Shmuel was bodik biyad, like we said before, and he was machsher, which is not surprising, because we started the Gemara right after the Mishnah, Rav Ushmuel v'levi de Amri, put your finger in and be bodik. So I heard that Shmuel was bodik biyad, and he was machsher. And Huna Chavrin, I heard from Rav Huna, that he said in the name of Rav, Bodik biyadu machsher. Again, it was Rav Shmuel v'levi. How can you go and say that you can be bodik biyad, and based on that, if it's not mevatzveit, if no brain matter comes out, then you're saying it's kusher, but on levi. Levi, the third of the trio. Trefishim manu chacham v'behima connectem bi'ohiv. All the trefis that we had back on daf membeis v'behima, same thing applies to oif. Yes, and oif has an additional one. The nishbar etzem avo bishalein yikav krum shel mayach. that if there was the Shviras Etzem through the Chulda biting into the head and making holes, that's already enough. You don't even have to be boidik whether it's Nikev Krum Shulmaya, because automatically this duck is, or this bird is a dead duck. It's dead. It has the status of a treifa. Even without the Nekev, just the fact you have Nishva Etzem. So why are you telling me that Shmuel was boidik and that Rav was boidik? In fact, they were machshir. What do you have to be boidik for? As soon as you see Nishba Etzem, it's done and it's treif. So what's going on? Amalei said, yeah, you left out the previous Gemara. Since it doesn't have a krum shalmayach, you don't have to be boidik for it. All you have to see is that the Etzem is Nishba. Freit Gemara, ein le krum sal kadaitach. Take a look, dissect a bird, and you'll see every bird has a krum, including the oif shalmai. It's because that krum, that membrane, is so soft. You don't have to be boidik automatically. Nishba etzem, you know, it has punctured that membrane. And the Gemara repeats the same story again. He turned to go to a hen, the Havi Bey Rav Chana. It was Rav Chana's shtib. Short of the comment of Masna, he sent it from Ramasna, is it kosher? It's not kosher. And he paskin nishba etzem le'nikav krum shalmayach. Hava, it was a situation of nishba etzem, and there was no nekev in the krum shalmayach. But actually, he said, "Oh, it was. Oh, it's kusha." Amalei batani Levi, didn't Levi say treif shemana chacham behema connected oif? Yes, alein oif that nishba etzem avu bisha ain nikav krum shalmayach. It's already treif, and you agree it was nishba etzem. So who cares yon nikav krum shalmayach? Nish nikav. It's kosher. I mean, according to Levi, it's treif. And you said that it's kosher. You're going against this brisa that Levi taught. Amalei hosma if shel mayim. That was talking about a dog, a goose. Hoy ve'ein le'krum, because there's no krum. So therefore, you only look at nishba etzem. Pray to my ein le'krum tzolka daitach. Of course, it has a krum. Le'ein mahoy le'krum erach. Therefore, as long as it's nishba etzem, you know for sure. You don't have to check. You don't have to ask any questions. You don't have to go basa chazaka. If it's nishba etzem, it's certainly nikav krum shumayach by the oif shalmai. So bottom line is, the Gemara has told us there's a difference between your regular oif and your oif shalmayim. In the case of the regular oif, yes, you have to do the bedika. Machloikas, you need to do the bedika with your finger, with a machat, with a masman, but you got to do a bedika. But oif shalmayim, you don't have to bother doing the bedika. As soon as you see nishba etzem, you know that the krum has been perforated, and therefore it's automatically treif. Now says Igmar Weiter,
yes, we need to get a krum, but if you haven't said puncture, you have to do a bedika then to see if there's a krum.
And by behemo or by an oif?
By
behemo, you don't have to do.
Even though you see
that there's a head from the outside that's punctured, unless it looks like it's deep punctured. Right. Here we're talking about a chulda that makes these small little,
punctures.
Very small bites. Then you have to do a bedika to see, but by behemah normally you don't have that requirement. Zokti Moravite Rav Shizbi Bodik B'Shimsha Rav Yema Bodik B'Mayim. They did a different type of bedika, not the bedika with the finger or with the masmer, but rather B'Shimsha. You see the last Rashi on the bottom, B'Shimsha Neger Hashemesh Mistakel Im Yira B'Nekev Sha'or Yofla Bedika. He goes and takes the part of the head, puts it up, remove the head, just go and take now the membrane which is surrounding the outer membrane surrounding the material, go and take it and show it up to the sun and see whether or not you see any holes. The sun does a great job in being boidik for the holes in such a membrane. Rav Yemar was boidik b'maya, in water. Rav Acha bar Yankev boidik b'gila d'chitza. We'll talk about gila d'chitza in a moment. What does this mean, b'maya? So Rashi from the Omid Aleph is here on the top of the Omid Beis. Rashi is in b'maya. Two different checks. Says Rashi, first pshat, moitzi kol ha-moyach min ha-krum derech pia. What you should do is go and extricate, excavate, remove everything inside the skull, inside the head of this bird, derech pia, through its mouth. Go and take the whole thing out. Now that you take the whole thing out, now you're wondering, how does that all work? In the same place, just like the head of an individual, of a behema, of an oif, lahavdil, they all have the same connection between the brain material and between the chuta shedra that emanates and extends from the brain. Okay, so wherever that is in the body, go and make a hole, and now remove all the contents of the brain, aros. And now the remaining head is now hollow, it's empty. Umamali akrumayim, now go and fill it up with water. V'myoitzi derech hamaka, if you see that there is water that's coming out, derech hamaka, v'yadua shenikev akrum, then you know for sure that there was a nekev in the krum by the fact that you see that water is leaking out. Lishna achrin, the second shot is, machnes benekev o etzim mayim, not that you go and hollow out the head, but no, take the head the way it is, and put water on it. Maybe you put it into a meshichla shomayim like we've had before, into a basin, or maybe just turn on the faucet and let water run on it. B'choizru maitzir, and then afterwards take out the etzem from this water stream. V'roya im nislabnu, meaning now if it's not that you take out the water, the head from the water, but now after you've removed the head from the water, now try to squeeze out the head and get water coming out now from those holes. Veroyan, take a look in the water that comes out. Is it coming out just as clear as it was when it went in? Im nislabnu, if you see that it has now a whitish tint to it, pidushin is arva moyach behem, is a simon that some of the brain material, some of the brain matter, had become loose as a result of the puncture of the brain, and now that brain matter has now dissolved into the water, and that's when you took the water out. It's not crystal clear like it was before, but now it has a whitish tint to it. So that's the water test. What is this Gila de Chitza test? Says Rashi, Kidaparishis b'masmer. Gila de Chitza means essentially part of the stalk of wheat, where it has a bit of a rough edge, so that if you put it there against the membrane and there is a hole in the membrane, it would get stopped, just like we said by the masmer or the machet, it would stop midstream if there's a hole, because the hole would not let it just smoothly continue on brushing back and forth. Do the same thing, gil l'chitza, if there's a hole, it'll get stopped, you'll know that there's a hole in the membrane and the thing is straight. Now Rav Shizbi just adds one little footnote, Rav Shizbi, hani avzi didon, the geese that we own, in other words, in our community, they have the status of the Oif Shalmayim that we spoke back on the Omer Aleph. Once you see that it was Nishbara Etzem, you do not have to go anything further to go and see whether Nikiv Krum Shalmayach, because they don't have a Moyach. They don't have a Nikiv Krum Shalmayach. Really, they don't have a Krum. They always have a Krum. It means it's so rach. It happens to be so fragile and so soft. Automatically, you know, if Nishbara Etzem, Avada, there happens to be a hole in the membrane as well. So you don't even have to be biting for it. Okay, enough of the or. So we said in the Mishnah, what happens if the bird Nebuch fell into a fire, and then obviously came out of the fire, and then you shechted it was still alive, Baruch Hashem, and then after that you checked the B'nai Me'ayim. So it said in our Mishnah, if the B'nai Me'ayim are red, it's kosher. If the B'nai Me'ayim are green, it's not kosher. Now the question is, how far green do they have to be? The entire B'nai Me'ayim? Or even a Visala? Om Rav Yoichan Mishim Rav Yoichan Ben Yoishua, Shir Yurukasan ki Shir Nukuvasan. Just like a nekev in the dakin. Ma Nukuvasan Mimashu, a small little nekev makes the thing treif. Afrikasan Mimashu, even though the rest of that B'nai Me'ayin happens to be totally red, but there is a speck of green that already passes it as if it was a nekev. Seboyimene Rav Yosef Bere Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Mi Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. Apparently he asked his father. Hoyurika Kove Kenege B'nai Me'ayin Mau. Until now, we were talking about that the B'nai Me'ayin were Hoyriku or Hedim. What was the Lashon of the Mishnah on the Omer Aleph? Nofel Lior, V'nechru B'nai Me'eha. B'nai Me'eha are the innards, typically the intestines and things attached to the intestine. Im Yeroikim, Sulim Amadum and Kshem. So we only referred to the B'nai Me'ayin. Now our Gemara tells us what happens. Nothing happened to B'nai Me'ayin, but something happened to the Kaved. Zokti Gemara. Hoyrika kovet. Kovet is the liver. Hoyrika, it got green. The word hoyrika is from Russian yoroik. By the way, when we say green, some of the mafoshim say it might be yellow. Whenever you have yoroik throughout Shas, it could either be yellow or green, unless it says yoroika kakarsi. Kakarsi means, like leek, which apparently is green. But otherwise, you see the word hoyrika, sometimes it means yellow. Okay, anyway, so what does it say? Harika kovet keneg me'ayin, the kovet, which is the liver, which is facing me'ayin, not the entire kovet. Some of it is facing, some of it is not. But that part of the kovet which faces me'ayin, ma'u, if that got greenish, what would be the din? Amalei treifa. Frey Timar, why is it a treifa? Lo yehei ella nitla. Remember in the first Mishnah of our Perek, we said that even if it's nitl ha kovet, as long as there's a mashu, and then later on the next Mishnah in Nundalit said, no, mashu is not enough. It's got to be at least a kezayis. But if 99% is missing, and I have either mashu or at least a kezayis, then it's still kosher. And here you're telling me, because a green spot on it, the whole thing is treif. Rabbi says, you're making a mistake. You think that when we're talking about harika kovet, is a simon that it's treif because the kovet got green. No, no, no. The kovet, if you will, is just like a mirror reflecting the internal complexion, if you will, of the bnei me'ayin. Even though the bnei me'ayin have not yet turned green, amarava kimin sharika kovet kenei bnei me'ayin biyadua shenofel li'or v'nechru bnei me'ayin utreifa. It's not a kovet tarfis. Not because it's, the kovet could be perfect, because after all, even if 99% of the kovet is not here, it's still kosher. The problem is that if you find that there's a green spot in the kovet, that means that there was a fire, and the me'ayin have been effective negatively, even though you don't see the change in color of the me'ayin, you don't need to. Since it's the kovet next to the me'ayin, it's as if it's a mirror showing what's really going on in the me'ayin that I cannot see with my regular eyes, but I see it on the kovet. Therefore, it's treif. Says the Gemara, Reb Shuvan Levi Havile Hutane Goylis, he had a hen where there was a shayla. Shadr the Kami Reb Luzer Hakaper Beribi. Rashi says Beribi means the Gudel Hadar, Grois the Gudel. Omalek, and he says Yeroikin Hava, that they happen to be green, the Achshara, and he said it's kosher. Green is kosher. Vanantanam, we have a Feishim Mishnah Yeroikin Psulin. What are you telling me that Yeroikin is kosher? The Mishnah Zoktach Yeroikin is psulin. The whole Indian of green means that it was originally red and it's turned green. Which organs in the body are typically red and now have turned green? The korkuban, that's the pipik. Belev, that's the heart. Ubekovein, and that is the liver. However, if you have other parts of the body, which lemoshel the bnei me'ayin, which are typically greenish in complexion or yellowish in complexion, and you find that they're now green or yellow, then it's kosher. So it really all depends on what you're looking at. When the Mishnah says that it turned from red to green, it's possible because it's naturally green. But as the Gemara is going to tell us now, the same thing applies in reverse. If it's naturally green and it turned red, that's also a siman pasul, because the Indian of Nofla le'esh v'nechru me'av means that they have changed their color from green to red or red to green. Tami hachik be'ilu b'nei me'ayin be'omru, which b'nei me'ayin do we say in the Mishnah that if they're green that they are treif? Korkuban b'leivu be'kovei, because those are naturally red. Rabbi Yitzhak bar Yosef havalei ahutayin ekotu, he had a hen. Shod l'kamit r'bavol v'yomalei eduvim hava, oi, it's red. And he said it's treifa. We said in the Mishnah, Adum HaKashim. It's the same thing as before, just in reverse. Or, Yeroikin Sheadimu, Treifa. Why? Because you see, as a result of the fire, there's been a major change in the complexion, or at least the color, of these vital organs. Huh? So then it depends. What was the original color? If the original color was red, it turned green. Or if the original was green and it turned red, Treifa. When did we say in our Mishnah, if it's odom, it's kosher? El belayt, the korkin of the kovet, which that is their natural color. However, this tiny goddess that they sent in front of Bavo, and they found that it was a dumim, it wasn't in the leif korkin of the kovet, it was on the b'nei me'ayin, on the intestines, and the related part of the body. Oh, there, it's normally green. If it turns red, then it's treif. Omrav Shmuel bar Chia omrav Mani. Adum Sheiriku Vishalkan. V'chozu v'hedimu is kshein. So Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya says something interesting, and he says is there is a way to go and test, in fact, to determine whether or not this oif is treif by the change in the colors. So normally we send the Mishnah, if it was normally red and it turned green, or normally green and it turned red, it's treif. So Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya Amar Mani, no, there is still one way further of testing it, and that is when Amos Vadum and Shahiriko. So everybody's going to say, oh, Adum Shahiriko, we have the three, we have the lave, we have the korkuban, we have the kovei. Each one of them is supposed to be red. It's turned green. Obviously, it's treif. Case closed. No, said Ramani. What you do is shulkan, go now and boil them in hot water for a while, and that's what they did. V'chazru v'edimo. And guess what? That green yellow color went away, and it was restored back to its original redness. Kosher. Why is it kosher? My time is because kutra ayil b'hu. You know the reason why they turned color. It was not because of the fire. It was because of the smoke. Just like you hear sometimes, unfortunately, when there's a fire, that people didn't die as a result of the fire. They died as a result of the smoke inhalation. So here, too, you have the smoke caused the lave or kaveh to go and change from red to green. But that was not because the fire permanently affected this bird, but rather it's the smoke that caused this discoloration. And therefore, my time at kutra ayil b'hu, but now as a result of the boiling, I got the smoke out. If it's kosher after all. And now the Gemara is going to tell us similarly and in reverse. Amram nach b'yitzak afanan nemar adumim shloi hariku. What happens if it was red and they did not turn green and the leaf and the cover and the korkuban remained red? Oh, she says, oh, must be kosher. Vishalkan, and then you boil them. Perhaps you boil them to now go and cook it. Voyriku, oi, take a look. They turned green now. And now your face turns green and yellow. And you say, oi, it looks like these are treif after all. It was odoi. It's treifa. My taima, igloi bahasayu. Bahasayu means its shame and humiliation has now become discovered. Until now, the shame was covered over. What was the cover? It was smoke covered by the smoke that came into this bird, and therefore it caused the edumim loy lohoirik not to turn green as a result of the smoke. But now that you've removed the smoke by boiling it, and you see oyoyoy taka, the red lave and kavi turn green, and it's treifa after all. So this shulkan works both ways. Since it works both ways, Amravashi, you know what? We should institute a new rule. Any time that you have a bird that unfortunately was involved in some sort of fire, loylechol inish ela bishalka, always do that boiling trick, not trick, boiling test, to see whether or not the fact that it has remained red or the fact that it's turned green, whether that's as a result of the fire, nechmrumu meimav, and therefore it's treif, or maybe this is just a temporary phase depending on the smoke. So therefore, every time, let's go and do that bedinka. So to uvalohi, the masa that's not required, achzuki reyesole michaskinan. Until you know for a fact, then you have to go and be concerned. But if you don't know for a fact, just to go and say, let's go make another test, another day, just to be on the safe side. You don't have to make tests unless you have some sort of chazaka, just like we always say, a sirch in the reya, there's a chazaka that it's very prevalent in society. However, just because the bird was involved in a fire, so I mean, obviously, the bird didn't get burned up, because if it got burned up, we wouldn't be shechting it. So it escaped the fire. So you're concerned, well, maybe there was smoke, and maybe it got nechma meyav. Unless you have a reason to believe that that, in fact, happened, you don't have to worry about it.
What's the difference between the mehayin and the lave, korkuban, and kavei?
It's difference in their initial color. The lave, korkuban, and the korkuban,
they're red, normally red.
Normally red. So if they turn green, no good.
But
it's great. Mehayin is usually greenish-yellowish, and if they turn red, no good. It's a change of color from what they were originally.
Yeah, but you don't have to boil the mehayin.
Oh, that's what the Gemara concludes at the end, that you don't have to. Yeah. We,
no
certainly, if there was no
suspicion.
No suspicion. If there was no fire, then nothing to talk about. Right. But even if the bird was involved in a fire. So Rabashi said, you know what? Best thing is go and boil it to see whether it was the kutra, whether it was the fire that caused the nechmu meyav, or it was because of the kutra, because of the smoke. Says the Gemara, that's really not required unless you know for a fact that there's a problem with this bird. You can assume everything is fine. Doris v'tarv v'bekaisel, v'shteitach in the Mishnah, that if it waited for 24 hours and it was still alive, then you're allowed to go and shecht it, and it's kosher. Rablozer ben Atignas, Mishim Rablozer ben Yanai. Taka true what you said, but it's not enough to go and say, mutalach, mutalach, achazu v'achazu, both in the case of the Darsa. Dardarsa means that a person tread on this bird, or Tarfu Bekoisa threw it against the wall,
right.
Or the case of the Ritzitza that the Gemara said by the Behema Nebuch stepped on this bird and crushed it. And all of these cases, Achazu Biachazu Tzricha Medik, you gotta be boyik to be in the safe side, you never know for sure. And here is Dakad is a Reyesa by the fact that somebody stepped on it and you saw that this bird wasn't flying away. This bird was staying still for the next 24 hours, okay, fine. But you still have to be choishish that is Risa Kevarim, and therefore you have to do your Risa Kevarim test. You have to be biting.
It couldn't wing it.
It couldn't wing it. Very good. So to Mishnah Baitim, but the following can wing it. The Elu Ksheiris Baitim, the following are kosher Baitim. Up or Hashem. Mikvah HaGageris, the Kona just had a Nekev. Well, it's the same thing just like by Behema. A Nekev alone doesn't tarf either by the, doesn't make treif either by Behema nor by the oif. Just a hole. Sorry?
Row.
Has to be right. Very good. Very good. Oh, very good. You're really on top of it. Oish nistika. Nistika means that it was slit, but it wasn't slit l'roichav, where you'd have the 51%. But we're talking about l'oirich.
Vertical.
Vertical, exactly. Starting from the head of the oif, going all the way down towards the bottom until it enters into the reya. So that vertical, if there happens to be a slit in it, it's still kosher.
But that's not Isari Talki. That'd be so much larger, wouldn't it? That'd be more than a robe in the case of a chicken. An Isari Talki type.
The Gemara back on, I think, Mem Gimel or Mem Hey, that talked about Isari Talki, was talking about that there was, you know, of course, a behemoth, no question. And it was talking about that there was a chisorin.
A flap.
Not Misha flap, but it means that there's something missing as a result of either the nekif or the nistika, some of the basar of the kana was missing, and now you have to go and see whether you can fetch a rain and isser, yes
see,
or no.
I see.
Here, when we're talking about the oif, nothing was missing because if something was missing,
just the cut.
Good. Now, huksa chulda al roisha, mekun she ein ois oisa treifa. The same weasel that we had on the Amud Aleph, but this time when he bit into the head of the oif, he did not make him treif. It was mokum she'ena oisa treif. In other words, from the right side, the left side, the top, the bottom, whatever. I'm not familiar with the inner anatomy of the bird, but he bit it in such a spot that doesn't make him a treif.
Like the beak.
The beak. Oh, it's on the beak. Fine. It's not good.
It's not treif, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, it wouldn't be just
who
because...
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, nikav the nose. Yeah. Okay. Nikav ha-zefek. What happens if there's a hole in the zefek? Zefik says Rashi is like the keris babahema, and in fancy English it's called the crop, C-R-O-P.
Yes.
If you have a hole in the crop, again, you have it's kosher. No problem. You have a hole inside the korkabun, that's straight. But inside the zefik, it's okay. Now, the zefik, which is just like the keris, is one of the stomachs. It's one of the stomachs, the chodeh, if there's a hole in it,
the stomach,
then
it should be a
treifa. So the Mephoshim explained the art scroll brings from the Ran. The Ran says, even though there's a nekev, but there has to be enough of the ezefik, which is intact, that would allow for the continue
digestion
digestion system, that the train can still continue on from the garden, not the gagaris, from the veshit into the zefik and into the korkaban, that there's still a lot of traffic going back and forth, and the nekev has not affected it. However, if in fact it's a big enough nekev that it is affecting the transfer of the foods and the movement of the foods, then it'd be a big problem. And in fact, it would be a treifa after all. Yes.
In South America, the cows which graze, they have a lot of methane, so they make a hole in their
metal.
Yeah, in stomach. Yeah. Methane. Their methane gas building up in their bodies.
Uh-huh.
So they
to relieve
them.
It.
They puncture them. It's a question of making a tray for
to release it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have that problem in America. Years ago, they also had that problem about making holes in it. I think from the vaccines, they said that maybe that would cause a neck of them various, but the eye. So the OU and the other cautious organizations were very busy with that. When they determined at the end, Vesognish. But yes, anytime you make holes, it might make this behema unholy, that you wouldn't be able to eat it anymore because it could be potentially a trifle. You're right, you have to be careful. Rabbi Omar for the nitel, even if the zefek was nitel and gansen. So it was about, I think it's, the Ran wasn't talking about the nikiv, it was talking about the nitel. Oide v'loi voish, and he's saying, that, even though the Mishnah says, even if nitel the entire zefek, it's kosher. Zefik is an important part of the digestive system. So he doesn't mean nito entirely, means even if a large part was nito, but at least enough was still there to allow for the flow of the food, then it's still kosher. Yotze b'nei me'er. What happens if the oif somehow, there was an accident of some sort, and the b'nei me'ayim, now there was a puncture there in the belly, and the b'nei me'ayim are sticking out. The entrails are trailing behind the bird. V'lei nikfu. However, you look carefully at the b'nei me'ayim, there's no hole in it. It's just that yotzu, they left the body of the bird. Or, nishtabur gapel. Or, gapel means the wings got broken. Or, nishtabur ragleh, or the legs of the oif got broken. Nimritu kenofel, part of the kenofayim, part of the wings, in other words, the wing part. The difference between kapel and kanfel, says Rashi, is whether you're talking about the wing part of it or whether you're talking about the atzamos, the bone part of it. And so therefore, the kapel means that the bone part of the wings got broken, or nimritu kenofel means that the feather part got torn off, or whatever. What's the din then? All of these are kosher. Evik sheir is boif. In other words, the bird cannot fly anymore if the wings are broken. True. It can't walk around.
Eating it, it doesn't have to fly.
Exactly. If it broke its legs and it can't walk around, it's very unfortunate. But these are not simone treifis. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, im not lehanoitze, it's ulze psulim. Noitze means the feathers which are very close to the surface, which are on the, these are not the feathers that are attached to the wings with which the bird is able to go and move and fly. Here, Noitzer Rashi says it's on the or itself. If you look at Rashi right before Gemara, it says Masnisen right before Gemara, says Rashi, Noitzer hi hadaka hasmucha labasa she'en lakonim. There are no reeds in it, there are no bones in it, it's just Noitzer, the stuff that is, if you were ever kashered a chicken, for instance, so hopefully they did it in Yiddish, they have the expression tzeflikin. Tzeflikin means to pluck out all the feathers. Years ago, the Beis HaMitbachayim, or the Beis HaShchita, they did a very poor job in flicking and plucking out all the feathers, and the mothers and the grandmothers had to go and flick them and burn them and pull them and push them. Nowadays, it's much, much cleaner. But the point is that noitze im nitla, if that has been removed according to Yehuda, if that has been plucked out when the bird was still alive, that's ulta possible because it weakens the bird, it's ulta simen tafis.
Can you just, for a second, if you yetsu b'nei me'ai of a lo nikvu, we're talking about a live bird?
Live bird.
And the kishkas are falling out?
Hold the question until the end of today's daf. Okay. We're going to talk about what do the millennium say today. An amazing story. Amazing. You'll see. Awesome story. I don't hear them using the term awesome. You always amazing. Right here. Ask a shidduch, a girl from the seminary about a friend.
Amazing.
Oh,
everybody's
she's amazing. 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 Everybody's amazing. Okay.
It's a puzzlement.
It's amazing. Yeah. Turn it about. We have a brisa. Mas Reb Simoy v'Reb Tzodik sheholchu la'aber shana belud. They want to go and do an iber shana. In other words, to add an additional month. And v'shavsu ba'oinai. For Shabbos, they stayed in a place called Oinai. And when they were there, they made the following hayro.
It's still there, but Kiri, I don't know. It's still there. But there's a Kiri, I don't know. It's
very good.
It's outside of Tel Aviv.
Kiri, okay. I don't know. Yeah.
You're borrowing one.
Kiron.
Okay, very good. I can see some people saying, oh no, that's not the same. Oh no, Figmar. This is Kiryas.
This is John Lennon's wife, Yoko Ono.
Oh, I didn't know it. But in the Haggadah, we also have that these rabbis saying were in Bnei Brak. Is that the same Bnei Brak as today? Unlikely, but who knows? Efshiyah. Anyway, they were in Ono, Vahoyru, and they paskin, Bitter Pachas, Kerebi, Bezefik. What does that mean? Tirpachas kerebi bezefik. Now, we already had tirpachas in the Gemara yesterday, where the Gemara said that there are three synonymous terms that all mean the womb, because the Mishnah talked about nidla ho'aim shalah, and the Gemara said, Ton, we learned in the price, he ho'aim, he tirpachas, he shal fuchas. All of these mean that there was a womb, and depending on what the story is all about, for instance, nitl ha'tirpachas. And you remember that Barry said very authoritatively, we're talking about a hysterectomy. And had Shelley been here, he would have said, no, it's a hysterectomy. Anyway, the point is that they paskin by the removal of the missing terpachas, the missing womb, like Rebbe in the case of the zefik. What did Rebbe say in our Mishnah? That not only nikev hazefik, but even nitel hazefik, it's also kosher. Like Mara says, I don't understand. We're talking about a womb, we're talking about Rebbe, we're talking about the zefik, we're talking about the kraf. How do all these mesh together? See, boilu. Hoiru b'terfachas li'isura and kerebi b'zefik l'hetera. Are we talking about that there were two separate piskei din? Number one, they paskin that if a terpachas, if the womb has been removed, the behema or the oif is treif, that they said it's osur. However, they paskin like Rebbe by zefik that if it's nitel hazefik, it's mutter. Is that the kavana of what we meant, terfachas kerebi zefik? Oy Dilma, no, they didn't talk about zefik at all, but rather hoyru b'terfachas lehetayra, just like Rebbe paskin by zefik, just like Rebbe said in our Mishnah. That nitel hazefik is kosher, so they paskin by terfachas. The same halach applies that if it's missing the womb, it's mutalach, just like Rebbe paskin by zefik.
But that's kosher in the behemoth also.
Avad by behemoth too. Avad Rebbe bezefik like spiritual, but by the halach of Rebbe zefik, no, that we disagree with. That was only a das yachid. Our Mishnah says nikev hazefik is kosher, but nitel hazefik is strife. So, but the case of the zefik, they didn't pronounce anything. Either leheter or leiser. Mm-hmm. The only shaila that they were asked, that they addressed, was the terfachas. They said, "You remember, we learned in the Mishnah that the Rebbe said the zefik is kusha, but nitel zefik. Same thing applies to terfachas. What is the halacha legabi zefik? They weren't asked. If you're not asked, you're not asked. Right. Don't tell. You right. Don't say anything. Gunish. Right. So therefore, zot yomara adil mahiru b'terfachas l'teira kirebi b'zefik. They said it's kosher." That maybe they don't hold like because they weren't asked and they didn't utter an opinion on. I don't know. I don't know, in fact, what they paskin on when they said these three words in the Gemara. Yes, Rabbi.
What is the difference between Zephyr and Kurkabana? What is the function of
different stomachs?
What is the function of
just like by Behema, we said that there are four stomachs. What are the four stomachs? We had the keres, the hemsis, basicoisis, and the keva. By the oif, we have at least two stomachs, and those two, one is called the zefik and one is called the korkaban. They both miraculously work together by nature, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to digest all the food that goes in. Okay? Apparently, the korkaban is more essential than the zefik, because by korkaban, we said a nekev in the korkaban makes a treif, but a nekev in the zefik, everybody agrees, it's still kosher. So,
as long as the traffic moves.
The food goes first to the
zefik
or the
korkabon? Here's a picture. I have a picture right here.
Okay, so so what's the answer? Which one does it go first?
Here's a zefik. Here's the korkabon. It goes...
Yeah.
And the beishit, okay? So Barry is showing us a picture
enzyme,
over here.
The enzymes attack it here, and they move it...
They're pebbles. They eat pebbles that accumulate there, mm-hmm. And they use that to crush the food.
Barry is showing us a picture that the beishit first goes into the zefik, which is the crop. And then the food goes from the zefik into the korkaban. Okay? And then to the intestines. Correct. Correct. That's correct.
The initial digestion.
Yes.
Is the zefik.
Good. Zokti mor yetz weiter. Omar rabba bisem rabbi shuben levi. Gagoy shul zefik. Nidon keveshet. Oh, so Gemara really addresses this. Should have remembered. Sorry. The veshet goes into the zefik. And so therefore says the Gemara, the gag of the zefik. What means the gag of the zefik? That means the very
big...
The roof, that is the very beginning of the zefik, as the veshit goes into the zefik, that gag has the same din like the veshit. What means the same din like the veshit? It's like the veshit has a hole, if there's a hole in that part. So even though our Mishnah said nikav zefik is kusher, that's when the later part of the zefik, as it drapes down. But the initial part of the zefik, which is attached to the veshit, that is treif with a hole. So that's what he's saying, gagash zefik, the beginning of the zefik, which extends from the veshit, just like the veshit, a hole makes a treif. Here also makes a treif in the veshit. Hey, you're going to ask me, where exactly is that? Can you pinpoint a place on the zefik? Nimtach, it says Rashi means like nimshach. If you go and extend it, were you to go and stretch it a little bit? You're holding on to the veshit, you're holding on to the zefik, and you stretch. So that part at the outset, which stretches together with the veshit, that you know is like the veshit, and has a din of nekev, even the bashu, and it makes a treif. So he said the Bnei Me'ayin fell out. Now, what did you do with the Bnei Me'ayin after they fell out? When do we say in the Mishnah that it's kosher that the doctor or whoever owns this bird put the Bnei Me'ayin back into the bird in the correct order? He didn't do it upside down. If part of the intestine should be lower or higher, and the higher should be lower, it's treifa, because obviously it affects radically, negatively, the whole digestive system. It's upside down, it's v'nahapachu. And I even have a pasuk, t'chsivu oscha v'yichoynenech. And the more dashins, melamit shebar, kodesh baruch hu, koynenios ba'odam. The word koynenios, Rashi says, is like the word kan, from the kiyar v'kanoi. Kan means that it has a base, so the base has to be strong. Just like a building, the foundation has to be strong. The foundation is not strong, has to show them the whole building can collapse. If the base of the person or the animal or the bird is not a firm base, has to show them there could be a collapse. And so if Malamish go to Borchu, koinyoiz ba'adam, shenepach achas mehen, if it was something that is ibigadrait, fakert, it's turned upside down, in yachalichyos. In the case of the bird, the same thing. The name ayim are not on their kan, on their base, but they're upside down. No good. We're going to get back to that in a moment.
It's like it.
Yeah.
This base, if it's upside down.
Psh, very good. So now the Gemara gives a different drasha for a moment. We're going to come back to our Hilchas Treifas in a second. Tanya Remeir Oimer, who oscha v'ichaynenecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu made us his nation and he established us with a firm base. What does that mean? We're not talking about now the physical structure of a human being, but rather we mean Klal Yisrael, it's kracha de kula bay. It's like a city that has anything and everything that you need. Meaning, in the Jewish nation, we do not have to ask Gentiles to assist us in whatever. Mimenu kehana, mimenu nevia, mimenu sarav, mimenu malkav. Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem is blessed with so many brilliant, capable, talented individuals. We have our kehana, we have our nevia, we have our sarav, we have our malachim. Shenemar. Mimenu from Klai Yisrael, Pana Mimenu, Yosed, etc., anything and everything Klai Yisrael.
If worse comes to worse, we go to the foundation.
You go to foundation. Very good. Mimenu, Pana Mimenu, Yosed. Okay, now the Gemara tells us that amazing story that I want to show.
This is Baba Kama, I think we had this originally, right?
With the next Gemara?
I think so, yeah, I see it now, yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the Gemara tells us now how U Reima, there's another Girsa, Arma, which means a Gentile. The Chazlu Gavra, he saw a person, the Nofal Me'igrali Ara, the Nebuch, the person fell down from the roof onto the ground. But apparently he didn't hit his head, no concussion, but rather Nebuch, he's of Gaktatsuris. What do you mean Gaktatsuris? Paki Karse, his belly split open, the Nofal Me'anel. And the Mayonim, the Bnei Me'ayim, the intestines are lying there on the ground. Oy vavoy, how am I going to put those intestines back in? If I don't do it correctly, the person's going to die, like the Gemara said before. You don't allow for nepach achas mehen. So he did a magic trick, as you'll see. Asi lebre, he brought the son of this arma, v'shachde kamei, and he shechted the son in front of the father. But don't get nervous. We don't quote the Chevra Kedisha. He did it b'achuzas einayim, says Rashi. Top of the omen, v'leinogava, he didn't even touch the son. V'leinzika, he wasn't mazik. Ella denidmali of kilo nishchad. He made as a black magic. He made as a magic trick.
An illusion.
Oh, and guess what happened? The father was lying there on the ground. When he saw that, ingid the isnach, he took a major groan and a major sigh, and then when he's catching his breath, and he caught his breath, and as a result of catching his breath, that was so strong
inhaled
oil mayonei. The Mayonim came back into the body.
In the right place. Or in the
and
right
the right place, the Chayt of the Karis. And then he was able to go and sew up the Karis with stitches.
I know a real situation.
Okay. So otherwise people will be in stitches when they hear a story like that.
We had this tomorrow earlier.
Very good.
They had stitches.
Yeah. Please share with us.
He was attacked.
Yeah.
After, and his intestines, everything came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they replaced them.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And today he's 12 years older. 77 years old.
Baruch Hashem.
So what was it?